Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hot. I can hear you. I know we're on just because I don't have my headphones on.
You weren't paying attention.
Welcome back to the show.
I'm just letting it happen.
He still hasn't put his headphones on.
I'm sending out a very important tweet right now.
And you can't do that with your headphones on?
We have guest producer Brian McGaddis in the studio.
Yeah, holy shocker when I walked in the back door.
Producer T. Scott looks exactly like Brian McGaddis.
Tyler just went completely naked on top. Nick, you're next.
Nah, been there, done that.
He kind of is already naked on top, isn't he?
There you go.
Okay. Don't act like that just because I don't understand.
Well, you always say to me, wait a second on
your
that
jokes
one.
Are like Rubik's Cube sometimes. I have to take some time. I'll get them, but I got to solve them first.
Nick liked that. He did the knee slapper.
You slapped your knee?
Yeah, he went.
You corny bastard. Can I say bastard?
Well, you just did. Quentin wants to get in here on Carlos Correa. Quentin, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good show.
What's up, Quentin?
What's up, man?
Hey, yeah. Talking about Carlos Correa, you guys made some good points. He doesn't strike me as a player that's, strictly out there for the money or whatever the case may be, but you guys know as well as I do, you guys mentioned it earlier about D-Hop being kind of salty last year or whatever the case may be. There's nothing that turns a player salty pretty quick is when an organization doesn't value them the way they feel they should be valued. And I don't necessarily mean that by the money standpoint, but just trying to lock them up and give them security at a good price, at a decent salary, not just trying to lowball them. You guys know what I do. The Yankees is one of those storied franchises that, man, as a kid, you would dream about playing for the Yankees and winning the World Series with them. So, hey, I could really see that maybe sometime in the future for them if the Astros don't value them. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Yeah, I mean, those are all great points, Quentin. Thanks for the call, dude. Like, that's why I think the Astros were smart to try to reach out to him early, but I think there's also, there's the ulterior motive of if we can lock him up now at 2017 prices.
Sure.
Or whenever this
occurred. That's a Jim Crane move right there. That's a savvy business move.
And I think, Correa's, agent knows that.
Sure.
We'll wait a little longer. It's not going to hurt our feelings. But I think the bigger damage comes from when you try to lowball a guy.
Well, then
to take advantage of.
Then his feelings are hurt. And...
Yeah. So I think, I don't have a problem with them trying to lock them up. I just hope they're not, out there playing games. Because that's what concerns me is you go out there and you start playing games with these guys. They don't have to play pool with you. Yeah.
Think about that. Not Correa. Beltran the first time.
Yeah.
That was a whole back and
all
forth.
All because he wanted the no-trade clause, and they wouldn't do it.
And I think that then Scott Boras got involved at the last minute after they had finally reached an agreement, said, hey, by the way, the Mets just came in last minute with $5 million more. And Drayton was like, we said we had a deal, we're done. And he thought he was bluffing. And the next thing you know, he's on his way to the Mets.
Yeah, see, I didn't hear that, but I did read something where Beltran talked about it on his way back. And he said that it had everything. The reason he didn't sign is Tim Purpura would not do a no-trade clause. He had just been traded from the Royals to the Astros, and he didn't like the feeling of being traded. And so his big sticking point in the whole thing, money be damned, was he wanted to play here, but he wanted a no-trade clause, and Tim Purpura wouldn't do it, and so he said no deal. And so, I didn't hear about the extra $5 million thing, but
people that
I do know, like in the article I read, that was one of his big no's.
And even if it was one or both, because I had heard it from the sources inside the negotiations that said, you know, Drayton wasn't exactly savvy on, you know, baseball right. negotiations, but said, look, you know, I think there was a deadline that night of like 11 o'clock Central, and at 10:45, they had reached an agreement, and they basically had signed off on it. And at like 10:50, Boris called and said, hey, we got another offer. We got a new offer. We got one from the Mets, and Drayton was just so put off by it. So regardless of what – because he loved it here, and he played great. But, you know, if you screw around and play chicken with the wrong guys in the wrong situation, it can come back to bite you.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. By the way, Chris said on Twitter, the dude that thought y'all's show was trash also thought Hopkins was trash and can't get separation. So maybe that was the guy that called us talking about the hip swivel or whatever. Remember that guy?
Yeah,
that
I do. One time? He was one of your favorites.
Yeah.
That's one of the, that's in the Barry Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And by the way, clear this up because Gary wants to get in here, but in researching this Ocho Cinco thing, the NFL on ESPN had a list where they said the best of the best. Darren Woodson's top five wide receivers, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., A.J. Green of the Bengals, and a tie for fifth between Dez Bryant and D-Hop, at which point Ocho Cinco decided to start tweeting everybody one at a time saying, I will lock you up. First, he sent it to NFL and ESPN and said, I agree, I'll lock all of them up right now in one-on-ones. Then he sent individual messages to OBJ, to everybody on the list, including D-Hop and Jordy Nelson. I don't know what that dude is like. He's almost like LeVar Ball in a football uniform. I mean, he just won't go away. He wanted to be a pro soccer player for a while. Then he raced a horse. Then, you know, he's trying to get on all these TV shows. I just, you had your 15 minutes. You had a decent career. Just
right.
Fade into the background.
Goodbye.
Jeez. Gary wants to get in here on Ocho Cinco. What's up, Gary?
Yeah, I was kind of sorry for a tweet. And I was hoping at the time, because I know he tweeted that, but I also saw the one where he tweeted DeAndre. And I was hoping he was just saying, man, I'll lock you up as a franchise receiver. I was literally hoping he wasn't thinking that. He
will
hold him as a quarterback.
No, Gary, I think that's what he meant, was he could not lock him up as a franchise receiver, but lock him up as a defender.
That guy is brain dead. All right.
Appreciate it, Gary. Thanks for checking in, man.
Yes, he is brain dead. That's the dumbest thing I've heard of. Good. I mean, dude, let's be real. You were a fantastic receiver. You're not locking up these guys. It's just not happening.
No. And you know what, by the way? When you start talking about that kind of stuff, too, I think when everybody's been so quick to analyze one way or the other, the Texans finally going out and making a move for a quarterback. But I think one of the things that maybe people didn't think of during the process and just said, well, they just need a quarterback. But one of the reasons why they maybe had felt a little extra added pressure to get one is the fact that he can leave. And if he leaves because he's not sure who your quarterback's going to be, why would he sign long-term here?
Yeah.
He's already had to endure 5 years of all kinds of question marks.
Yeah, I'd be getting some sort of anguish bonus
right.
where I had to sit through all these crappy-ass quarterbacks. You're going to pay me more.
Yeah.
Like, just for that, just for pain and suffering. Lamont said, wait, are we talking about Hopkins leaving for money? Absolutely he would. That dude has a man purse. That ain't right.
He's a very fashionable guy.
He is. P. Randizzle said, am I out of line saying that Dwayne Brown's holdout is ridiculous, considering his age and other factors?
And injuries. I kind of felt that way.
See, I don't know. I mean, ridiculous? No. Shrewd? Smart? Absolutely. He's the best offensive lineman they have.
That's
He's
true.
He's probably their offensive leader on the field. I mean, who? We've talked about this before. Who's the leader on this team on offense? Is it Tom Savage? No. Is it you know, Lamar Miller?
It is Dwayne
no.
Brown.
It's either DeAndre Hopkins or it's Dwayne Brown. And I would be willing to bet you that by you know, years of service, it's Dwayne Brown on the field. When you're in that huddle, who do you think is – I mean, I get it. Tom Savage is the quarterback of the team. But if there's anyone that's been through it all, the good and the bad and the ugly, it's Dwayne Brown on this team. He's got to be the unquestionable leader on this offense right now. So, yeah, if I'm him, this is probably my last contract.
Well, and
it's
you look
shrewd.
At
it's smart.
He sees some of the contracts recently signed by other linemen that he's basically kind of on level with. But I do understand he's coming off injuries. He is a little longer in the tooth. But you're right. From the standpoint of from a business decision, it's now or never. You're either going to do this right now and try and cash in, or you're just going to have to sit back and take the diminishing salaries as you get older and continue to roll. But they don't have a whole lot of options on that offensive line.
No.
And for him to be such an anchor in so many ways, like you just touched on, you know, you can't, whether it's him or his agent or both, it's a smart move. I just the first when I first heard about it, I was like, really?
He is kind of coming up middle of the pack. What is he, left tackle, right? Left?
Yeah.
He's like, what, number, if you put all the starting left tackles in NFL, where would you put him? Like,
well, here's the thing. You factor in the injuries the last 2 years?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, because without injury, he's still graded out to be a top 10 at his position.
Yeah. I think he's a top 10 left tackle when he's healthy. He is getting older, so that's going to start going down. But it doesn't, to me, that doesn't matter. It's what do you have on this team? I'm the best offensive lineman you have on this team. It doesn't matter what the other teams have. But on this team, I'm the best thing you got. You should take care of me. So I think it's shrewd. I mean, I think it's smart. We do have some text coming in. Someone said, "Here, since you guys hate long messages, here's a short one. Bleep y'all." All right.
And right back at you. Have a great week.
Thank you, sir. That was followed by, "I enjoy your show. You guys are doing a great job," which was two separate people, by the way, or two separate numbers anyways. Someone said, your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said, "If they take you off the air, I swear I'm never listening to this station again." See? That's love.
That's what I like to hear.
That's what I like.
That's good stuff right
there.
Yeah,
so a lot of people were just saying that they enjoy the show. Just, we appreciate it. I can't read them all, but that would be embarrassing. An embarrassment of riches for all the nice things you guys are texting. Thank you.
Thank you, too, Nick, for playing the Nick Sharara weekend anthem as what he gets this? Prepared
Sticking
for...
Sticking to my rotation.
God, I hate this.
Why do you
it's
hate
the worst song?
Calling Dr. Love you hate? I think Shock would have something to say to you about that.
Whatever.
Well, the venom and fire is already being warmed up for Sunday. It's going to be a knockdown, drag-out battle royale.
One other thing that Lamont asked on Twitter, or he said, "I was told most of the Astros premier guys came by way of Ed Wade. Is that true?"
I would disagree.
Wade was out in 11, and they drafted Correa in 2012. And a lot of the guys that Wade was responsible for are gone, like Pence and you know.
Even some of the moves he made to trade the guys like Pence and Oswalt didn't bring back what they had hoped they would bring back.
Yeah, and don't give credit to Wade. Give credit to scouts, because if you look at the story of Jose Altuve, they sent him home, and he came back. Like, so, I mean, yeah, Wade is going to get some credit, but in baseball, more than any other sport, you want to give credit to guys. They give the GM credit, but it has everything to do with the scouting department.
I mean, it's a good, they're big in analytics, too. So they're, yeah. their
this,
department
this regime is not Ed Wade.
But I was going to say, but Luhnow did a hell of a job overall by managing all of those different arms of baseball operations.
Right.
But most importantly, rebuilding the farm system, which was absolutely depleted. So, I mean, I don't think Ed Wade's the guy. I think there's a combination of factors that you touched on, and that I thought Luno was the guy that orchestrated all of it from the top, too. He did a hell of a job. So, whatever they did, whoever's...
He did get Springer. Ed Wade did. That was under him.
Pretty much consensus right guy, though.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like...
Because, like, to your point, Correa was not the consensus number one overall, but they reached an agreement with him financially. It was very important to him, and they probably saved some money along the way, and he's turned out to be fantastic.
Yeah.
So, there you go. All right, so we'll get to the commercial endorsements and things that people need to do so that we can stay on the air. Other than that, we'll thank Sean Salisbury one more time, and we'll tell the guy named Jared, I guess he's been called out, that if you'd like to provide us with your Twitter handle, our usual suspects would love to have it. That's because we're the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. We ain't going anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Hey, it's Joel, Nick, and Barry. Till 4, The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 as we continue to roll on. El Jefe sending tweets with things that he thinks are funny, what we think would be great and funny, and actually doing something of a service to the show is what we told him to do for several days now. He hasn't been able to execute, which is to send real Josh Reddick lots of tweets to say he is red hot because of us and he needs to be on weekly. But he can't follow the plan.
He's still pushing that.
He cannot take instruction. He cannot do anything unless it is stirring the pot.
That's true. See? Did you see the splits thing?
Yeah, I did. I just said that to you in the break. I'm glad you were listening. Like
no,
that.
I did. That I'm. Well, the people don't know that. That's why I was bringing it up.
And to make it worse, you were doing the splits on the star of the Dallas Cowboys.
No, was I?
Yes, you were.
Oh. I didn't. No, I wasn't. Hmm? No, I wasn't. I couldn't have been.
Okay.
I retweeted it. Did I retweet it? No, I didn't. Oh, yeah.
Conversation between you and I. I mean, you and you going. Did I? I don't know if I did. Let me check. See. Nick. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, Lamont was clarifying. He wasn't saying that Wade was better. He was saying he was responsible for the big three. No, Correa was drafted under Jeff Luhnow in 2012.
Right.
Springer was definitely an Ed Wade draft. Keuchel was an Ed Wade draft. Correa, I mean, Altuve was Ed Wade, but Altuve was really a scout finder.
Yeah, because that was a big find.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's under Ed Wade, or he was here. He was brought on board when Ed Wade was here, yes, but I'm not giving Ed Wade all the credit for that.
And so. I think overall, like I said, Luhnow did a hell of a job just rebuilding the farm system, aside from just with the draft included, but just everything that he's done, and because of his background with the Cardinals and the way they pay attention to detail and get analytics involved.
And I think if you're going to say that about him, I tend to, and I know you vehemently disagree with this, but I think Daryl Morey is the same way. I look at Jeff Luhnow and Daryl Morey as two guys out ahead of the game as far as analytics and using that to build rosters and the way that they're doing things.
I don't vehemently disagree with it, but I think that there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance between the analytics and the eye test. You know, sometimes I think they go too heavy on just like, what would player A do with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter on the right side with his left hand? You know, it's really basically, you know, can you shoot? Can you dribble? Can you execute? Can you play team your system? There's a lot of things to go into it. But look, I don't take anything away from Daryl Morey's. Look, right now, I'll tell you this. The fact that he's going for it, whether he gets there or not, or whether that team can compete with the Warriors of the world, you got to give him credit for taking a shot. You know, he takes his shots. He goes for what he can get.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see, though, his latest quote?
Which one? I know he was just did a ESPN.
He said that basically.
He wants to add more Team USA players.
No, the Rockets have quote closed the gap on the Warriors. So I will agree with that. They have closed the gap. But closing the gap, if you are behind in a race, let's say you're running a mile and it's four laps, and you're down two laps. By making up a lap, yes, you've closed the gap, but you're still a lap behind the leader.
Can I ask a question?
They're a long ways away from the Warriors, I think. Mm-hmm. But yes, they probably have closed the gap by adding a second superstar, a top 10 player to this team where they had one, now they have two. Yeah, you still have like two more to go, though.
Can I ask a question?
They had four All-Stars, now
you
have two.
When you closed that gap, is there a team from San Antonio in that gap?
I think that they can. Yeah, I think that they'll be better than the Spurs as is. I absolutely do.
Right now, or by the end of all of this?
Right now, I think their team right now is better than the Spurs. I think they would have a. I mean, yeah, you can't take away. But you look at the Spurs; they have Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the next big superstar on the Spurs?
Well, they're going to say LaMarcus Aldridge.
They're going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, you have to say it financially and because of his career numbers. But is
he producing like a superstar?
He's not producing like the second best player, even.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think right now, talent wise, the Rockets you still have the sixth man of the year. You know what I mean? You still have an offense that can put up prolific numbers. You got a little bit better on defense.
Well, we were talking
about when you went out and got Tucker.
Oh, P.J. Tucker makes him a hell of a lot better defender.
So you still have a reason.
Gives you a backup for a reason.
You still have a reason as a defender. You have Tucker. If you wanted to go small, you could put both of those guys on the floor. Still have some shooting with those guys on the floor. You know what I mean? I think that this, if Nene's back, so you've got Capella and Nene at center still. Yeah, I think this team, and I'm sure I'm going to take heat for that, and that's fine. I think this team is and will be better than the Spurs next year.
All right. And that's why I asked the question.
Let the hate roll.
I think it's by the end of the moves, they'll be better than the Spurs. I don't think right now they're better than the Spurs.
Now, there's another interesting point, because if it's Carmelo that's one of the moves, you and I talked about this the other day. Are you now suddenly worse? Because, one, people are going to question if there's enough ball to go around. And that's going to be a huge topic of discussion. Two, unless the Knicks do a complete buyout, what are you going to have to give up to bring him in? And if bringing him in means not only bye-bye Ryan Anderson, but I've heard some scenarios where it's Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. If you got to do both of those, ooh, baby, I'm not so sure. Because now you better hope that everybody's knocking on your door trying to become a member of your second unit because they think you can win. Because it's going to be tough to assemble a bench. Because remember how many guys you had to give up just to make the Clipper deal happen. And you're running out of able bodies. You know, Morey joked the other day that our coach only plays eight anyway, so as long as we got eight, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
You trade those two guys, I'm saying you're going to be really scratching around trying to find eight. So that's a big
factor,
too. You got
to get something premium for Carmelo Anthony, and it's just, for me, it's hard to see that deal go down. And then if you're the Cavs, it looks like, you know, if I'm the Knicks, I don't think Kevin Love and like a draft pick or something like that, that's good enough for Carmelo. Because even whether you think he's that good of a player or not, he's perceived to be.
Okay, but Dick, let me ask you this. Is Kevin Love and a draft pick better than Ryan Anderson or Eric Gordon and something?
I think it's a yeah, I think so.
I absolutely
think
so.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
And
I would say
the Rockets and you give up Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon for Carmelo Anthony.
Then you're basically giving away two-thirds of the reason why you were so much better last year.
Right, and you're giving away the two guys that really make this system.
Mm-hmm. That might be the best possible deal, though, Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. I mean, you're really...
I would much rather take Kevin Love.
No, I mean, I'm talking about for the Rockets. I'm not mad at getting rid of Ryan Anderson.
No, not at all.
That's another challenge is what team wants to pay Ryan Anderson $20 million a year for the next 3 years?
Yeah,
but I don't know about getting rid of Gordon.
Yeah, that's the part that bothers me. Not Ryan Anderson at all.
It bothers me as well. I agree with both of you.
Yeah, you look at that dude. He gives you a lot of it. He's not great on defense, but Eric Gordon at least had effort, which is more than you could say for Harden.
Look,
you know?
He brings a lot to the table. Yeah. Intangibles, versatility. When James went out, he was your primary ball handler a lot of times. Obviously, the shooting is there. He's a better than given credit for defender as well. Yeah. And he can play multiple positions. So, unlike Ryan Anderson, who definitively is a one-dimensional player, making a whole hell of a lot of money. So, of the two... You really definitely, you take the trade-off and go, look, I'll take Carmelo and what he brings to the table and replace Ryan Anderson. But I don't want to lose both of them.
No.
And if I had a choice, that's the one I'd choose. Ryan Anderson goes, Eric Gordon stays.
I'm with you.
So we'll see what happens. All right, Lamar, Clarence, hang tight. We'll be right with you after the break. We'll be back with a whole lot more of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So Clarence, not Clearance, is on the board, but yet the interns got that right, but yet they called Lamont Lamar, and Lamont had to tell me on Twitter that he was Lamont, not Lamar, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and Barry figured it out, but I'm telling you, we have a stellar crew 24/7. 365. We could catch one of those rats and put them in front of a keyboard, and we might be all right. I'm just letting you know. All right, Lamont, you want to get in here? What's up, man?
Hey, man, this question is specifically for Joel, man. Okay, you guys know that I like to troll the Rockets fans, man. That's what I do. I have fun with it, man, because, you know, Daryl Morey, he has a little of a Tim Tebow going on. Well, I really don't like him. I just don't like people praising somebody for doing a whole bunch of average stuff. That just really gets to me, and I think he gets way too much credit. But my question for pretty much for you, Joel, but I want Barrett to expound on it as well.
Sure.
For so long, I have heard people say, well, you know, it's documented that Daryl Morey can't do anything. He can't do anything. He can't tank or anything. And I don't even much care about the tanking or how he drafts or anything, but that's the common thread. And then I'm also told, and this is where my question is leading to, that he took over a bad team. So something told me, you know, for about the last 3 or 4 years, I've heard that, and I just accepted it. You know, I never really put any credence in it. I was like, yeah, T-Mac was gone, and Yao Ming was gone. Yeah, that team was bad. So I went back and looked, and I think that Daryl Morey came in 2007, 2008, and that particular team won 55 games, and Yao Ming, I think Yao Ming went around about 2009, he got hurt around 2009 or 2008. In other words, what I'm ultimately getting to, and I want you guys just to shoot it down and tell me if I'm wrong or right. Did Daryl Morey inherit a bad team? Yes or no?
No. All right. Barry, you're up.
All right.
No. Here's the thing, Lamont. Here's my thing, okay? Back then, it was a little different than right now in terms of defining what a good or bad team is. But in terms of the record, in terms of the talent, in terms of their abilities, it was not a bad team. I mean, there were teams during the Daryl era, and you can remember the Aaron Brooks-led era, where they might not have had a superstar per se, but they went 500 for the year. They have 2 out of 3 years, they have the best record to not make the playoffs in NBA history. So they won enough games to be competitive. They were never like rock bottom. They were not bad teams, but they were a bunch of players that on a great team would be role players. But I don't know. I've talked about this earlier in the week. I am not a fan of Daryl's drafts. The last guy that I think he got right was Chandler Parsons. Kurt Lowe and I have been going back and forth on Twitter because Kurt Lowe wants to anoint him a god and one of the best NBA GMs of all time, and I refuse to do that. But I'm not saying he's horrible. I'm just not saying he's a god and he's great. Kurt Lowe gave me 5 examples, including some of the players that you mentioned, that Daryl had nothing to do with. Carroll Dawson drafted Aaron Brooks late first round, and then Carl Landry early second round, which were both diamonds in the rough. And then that
to be fair, Morey was the GM at the time, though. No, he was here in 2007.
Yes. But what he was doing was CD was still there, and CD was turning the reins over. And he also spent the year previous kind of just learning from Carroll Dawson. And from Carroll's mouth to my ears, he even said he drafted those two guys.
Okay, but let me jump in here real quick. Because from a draft perspective, I think that there's too much emphasis put on NBA draft. You and I both know that in the NBA draft, once you get outside of a top 2 or 3 pick, it's a crapshoot at that point. I mean, would you disagree with that?
I've said it overall. I've said that you're drafting on potential, and that's what can get people fired.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is this isn't like the NFL, and to even a lesser degree, the MLB draft. I mean, the NFL draft is what makes or breaks franchises. In the NBA, that's not necessarily the case. That's why you see these teams giving away their first round picks left and right, because it doesn't matter. You build teams through established stars in this league. So I look at more of trade efficacy than drafting. Like, if you get efficient trades and you go out and you're able to flip guys to make your team better, to me that means more in signing free agents and handling the salary cap than it does drafting a guy late of the round that doesn't work out.
My point simply is, I'm not anointing this guy a god, and I'm not doing it from the draft. And I brought up several instances which the Spurs, of all people, the Spurs are a franchise that they scout talent better than most. They find diamonds in the rough in the late first, in the early second, guys that everybody else passes on, and that's what I'm talking about. And just like you were saying, it's not all strictly on Daryl's shoulders, but at the same time, as the guy that's got all the keys and driving the car, you're the one that's going to pull the trigger and make those choices. When you take a Marcus Morris, who, again, this because I got into this with Kurt Lowe back and forth about how Marcus Morris is a starter on 3/4 of the team in this league. Well, would you rather have Marcus Morris, or would you rather have Nick Vucevic or Kawhi Leonard or Avery Bradley or guys like that? Because I highlighted in 3 and 4 separate drafts, 3 and 4 guys that he passed on. Now, that's not to say, like, to your point, potential is still a main part of the draft.
But a lot of people would pass on him, right?
Because San Antonio actually traded up to get Kawhi Leonard. They traded with Indiana and said, I can't let this guy slide. This is a guy. And some scouting departments, including the Rockets, thought he couldn't shoot. Thought offensively he was not all that, but that he was a defender. He was going to be a specialist on the defensive side of the ball. San Antonio saw something more than most. So that's what I'm saying. When I analyzed Daryl in the draft, look, I think Chandler Parsons was a find, a steal, a fantastic pick, and it turned out well for them. But there have been more misses than hits. But I do like the fact that when you talk about, to your point, trades and going for it, he's never been shy about doing that. He's been aggressive, sometimes hyper-aggressive, because, again, one of the things that I bring up is, if the Chris Paul to the Lakers deal is not nullified by David Stern, you don't have the resources to go get the Harden deal done.
Right.
So a lot of this has to – sometimes a luck factors in. Sometimes, like, again, Harden – some things are going to just fall into your lap. But what I was referring to, too, was Kurt Lowe pointed out six different players and situations that he credited to Daryl, five of which were false. So that's what I was getting on to. But, look, is he better than most? Yes.
Yeah, but my point is, Lamont's question was about the draft. And I think that the draft is the last thing I look at when grading a GM in the NBA. Yes, the Spurs are great at it, but they're one of the few teams that are. I mean, you can say that the Warriors built their team through the draft, but they were also bad in the process. But teams, the Rockets have been, for the most part, have always been playoff contenders. So they're not always going to have a great pick to begin with.
Well, his question, too, is really, did he have bad teams? Or good team.
Yeah, did he inherit?
No, did he inherit a bad team?
Did he inherit a bad team? And I don't think he inherited a bad team because record-wise, they were hovering around 500 or better. Like he said, the first year they won 54 games. But were they a championship-contending team? I think the one thing you can say is the biggest if in the world was if Tracy and Yao stayed healthy when they added pieces. You know, when Yao goes down in the playoffs and you had Ron Artest and you had a really good nucleus, that was a team that was capable of going a long way, and unfortunately, he hurt the knee in the Lakers series. But they took the Lakers to 7, and then the Lakers annihilated the Nuggets on the way to get into the finals. So that was a pretty good team.
I will say this. I'm not going to say any question is a stupid question. It is kind of an irrelevant question, though, considering how long he's been GM. I mean, even if he did inherit a bad team, look how long he's been with the team. So I don't know if he should be graded on whether or not. Like, I don't think that should factor in. Even if he did inherit a bad team, I don't think that should be factored in as to whether or not, like, how you grade him as a GM. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at deals. If you go, Basketball Reference is a fantastic website. Mm-hmm. And it shows you, you can actually see every transaction that has occurred under Daryl Morey from the time he took over. So this is, again, they credit him with the draft as well, selecting Aaron Brooks. They credit him with Carl Landry, you know, going out and getting Luis Scola. Signed Steve Francis as a free agent. So you can see all these trades that he's done. I mean, flipping Rafer Alston for Kyle Lowry.
That was a good one.
That's a damn good. But that's what I mean.
I'm going to give you one. He found Patrick Beverley in the Ukraine.
Yeah. But so he's, you know, getting Trevor Ariza as a free agent. So these are all the things that, I mean, yeah, these guys missed. Kawhi Leonard was drafted 15th by the Pacers. 14 teams passed on him. So that's what I'm saying. Like, are all the 14 teams that passed on him bad GMs because they didn't go out and get him?
It depends on need. It depends on need,
too. It's also
too.
A little bit of luck,
saying,
right?
You want to you think that I want to kill him, and I don't want to kill him. But I don't want to – And I don't want to anoint him, though. I don't want, because the big discussion all week has been Kurt Lowe calling him a god. He's not a god. So he goes, so you're calling him trash. No, I'm not calling him that either. I'm saying he's above average, but in no way am I saying he's one of the greatest. I think R.C. Buford is right up there. I think I can give you guys that I can put in the mix, but I like the fact that he's swinging for the fences every single year. He's aggressive that way, but I've looked at the drafts just like you did. We may see it from a different perspective, but there was a guy. I mean, and we
but look what he did with this Chris Paul trade. Look how creative he got. He gamed the system.
Again, I said from a trade perspective. No, and I said this earlier this week. No one knows every nook and cranny of that collective bargaining agreement and every loophole and advantage to take advantage of better than Daryl Morey.
So I think, but that was the point I was making to you, is when you're grading an NBA GM, I take draft as I don't look at that as important. Like, Rick Smith bungling the drafts is important in the NFL. happening in the NBA isn't as important. Being creative, like what he did to get Chris Paul here, is much more important to me in the NBA, as well as the trades that you make and being creative in those trades. Now, he's had some misses in those departments too. I'm not saying he's the best, but I'm just saying he should get more credit, I think, than he's been given sometimes. That's all I'm saying. The draft, though, to me, not one of the most important factors. So, all right, guys, I want to tell you about my favorite new place to eat in Houston. It's called Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Fantastic food located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food, and you're going to love this place. The listeners that have gone already and texted me telling me they love it, they tweet to me. My friends went out after I posted some pictures of the food that I had there the first time I went. Thanked me for the heads up on this place. You need to go check it out. It's outstanding food. It's homemade recipes. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. For example, you don't feel like having the chicken curry, you can get chicken fried steak. They have sliders. They have wings. They have a Himalayan heat burger that I'll go ahead and say right now, it's a must try burger in the city of Houston. If you're a burger guy, you need to get out to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen and try that Himalayan heat burger. They have non-quesadillas. They have the best butter chicken in the entire city. Go check it out. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. They have delivery. If you don't want to get off the couch, if you want to stay home, you can have Cowboys and Indians delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. If you want to go watch the game and try something different, they have a full service bar there. All the Indian food, family recipes, been in their family for years. Haas made a lamb vindula the other day. It was his grandma's recipe. He's perfected it. I recommend it. Really good. Go check them out. They're located at 1901 Taft. You can get more information on Facebook at CNI713. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it. And remember, when you go out there, guys, tell Haas and Imran Barry said hello.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. As we continue to roll on, got a little hoop talk. We've basically done a really nice mix today for you on the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network that isn't associated with them. And had some fun along the way. Nick has even decided to actually pay more attention than most times, which means either something's really bad on his phone or he's actually intrigued by our conversation.
I pay attention.
What?
80% of
what'd
the time.
What'd you say? I wasn't listening. What'd you say?
Did you get that? No. Okay. Clarence, our usual suspect, has been waiting patiently. We appreciate it. Clarence, what's up, my man?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing?
What up?
Man, this is a good Friday. Okay. I have something to say about this whole Carmelo thing, to Houston thing. What makes people think it's going to be better the second time around with him and D'Antoni did the first time?
Yeah.
That's one question.
Okay.
And the second one is, even if they give up everything, do you think it's even going to be an equal trade? We know Carmelo don't play defense. You're going to have two essential ball hawks on the team with Harden and Carmelo. We know Chris Paul likes to pass, so how is that really going to work out? Where you have a first-team defensive player and one person who doesn't play defense and a depleted bench?
Yeah, good questions, Clarence. I think on the first one, Joel talked about this the other day too, where I think he said, you know, Anthony, there's got to be a conversation that takes place, right? Like if they're considering bringing Anthony back, then obviously Morey and staff are going to talk to Mike D'Antoni. They're also going to sit down and have that discussion with Carmelo Anthony about, hey, are you going to fit in this time? Because I think it's well known that he didn't want to play that system. But didn't you say that there was discussions or that you had heard something that was already cleared and that was out of the way and that wasn't going to be an issue?
So the Kool-Aid drinkers have said that it's water under the bridge.
Okay.
The Sports Illustrated interview with D'Antoni was a month ago with him and his wife.
Okay.
Where he said they kind of hinted to him when he was in New York that this may not be working and something might have to give. And he said, I quit. And his wife in the interview said, don't say that. I hate that word. You resigned. He goes, he looked at the writer and said, no, I quit. So it depends on who you want to believe. Look, okay. Here's the other thing. If you're getting paid and you've got a multi-year deal and management says, we're going to go get this player, and you also realize at the end of the day, if push comes to shove, even though you won coach of the year, if this is something that management and ownership want to do, you either go along with it or you might get along out of town. So you weigh that as well, and you're like, look, I'll do what I got to do. And I think Mike believes in his offensive system enough that in New York, he might not have had nearly the weaponry that he could have offensively if he puts these three guys together. And he'll take his chances trying to make it work.
And in New York, though, he was the man.
No doubt.
Here, he's not the man.
Correct.
He's number three.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. There might be dispute on who's one or two. I mean, let's be real, though. It's James Harden's team, no matter what. Unless, you know, Chris Paul proves otherwise. But, yeah, he's the definite number three if he does come here. And so maybe that changes. You know, people keep bringing up, even on Twitter, people were, or I mean, on the text lines, people were bringing up the fact that, I mean, it's a Rockets question. Will Melo be willing to take a six-man role? I don't see him being like the Olympic Melo. He fit in more on the Olympic team. You know, he was willing to defer to some of the other stars that were on that team. I think he would, because I think he sees that he's soured everyone's opinion of him in New York. And just like everywhere else, he's gone. So he's got to. I mean, what you would think he would want to change at this point just to chase a ring, right?
You don't know. Because, again, the ego is a powerful thing, right? Yeah. And if you've been the man at Syracuse, you've been the man at Denver, you've been the man at the Knicks, and now suddenly, look, if you're passionate about proving people wrong, and we've seen James Harden be that guy. When he's passionate about proving someone wrong, and we've said when he has outside motivation, he can chameleon himself into a million different roles where he is effective and he is fantastic. But there's a lot of ironing that would have to be due and a lot of ironing of the wrinkles, because that's one wrinkle, the D'Antoni-Carmelo relationship.
Yeah.
Then, is there enough ball to go around? Then, I brought in the other day the whole factor of, and even down at Fondy, I was talking to NBA guys who told me, look, that whole locker room situation is going to be a real interesting one to keep an eye on, because James has never had anybody since he got out of OKC tell him what to do, how to do it, other than a coaching staff, and he really didn't listen to them. But now you're going to tell me that a guy that has been as dominant in a locker room as Kobe Bryant, as labeled by most internally, is going to come to your locker room, and it's going to be interesting to see, though they're buddies. It's one thing to be buddies in the offseason and say, man, we should play together. But when push comes to shove in the locker room and Chris Paul stands up and starts calling him out, how does James react?
Well, do you think that he's going to do that, or do you think he's going to pull James aside one-on-one and say, look, man, I would think that
the
as a leader,
that I
you
talked
get
to that were inside on the with the Clippers said, DeAndre, Blake, just, I don't want to say hated him, but they had had it. They had had enough.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe, again, everybody's going to have to change, right? We'll have to see if Carmelo really is dedicated to winning enough that he might take a different role or play nice with others, right? Chris Paul may have to change his style, not only on the court, because he wants the ball so much and be ball dominant, but also in the locker room. And James is going to have to be open to taking some criticism and some instruction and or...
But I think that goes both ways. Harden, he's not just going to come in and start calling the shots. James Harden's very much going to be able to do the same thing to him. So Chris Paul's going to have to be able to react well just as much as Harden's going to have to be able to react well.
Well, but what I'm saying is everybody's going to have to adjust. Yeah. So Chris is not only going to have to
maybe... I just feel
maybe,
like there's this notion that it's all on James Harden to react well. No, it's on Chris Paul. It's on James Harden. Yeah. It's on the entire roster.
Everyone's
I think Barry said it best. Of all of them, though, James is the one guy that can either make this whole thing work or blow this whole thing up, because it is his team, because it is, you know, the franchise that has given him the A1 positioning. And he's going to be the biggest factor in this whole mix of, yes, we can make it work and we can really make a run, or this thing's just not going to work because there's too many different variables where guys aren't on the same page. So we'll see what happens. Clarence, we appreciate the call as always, man. Lots of NBA talk and lots of signings and trades we haven't even talked about. But, man, it's crazy how the hot stove league for the NBA is red hot after a ice cold playoff run. It's been fun to watch all these different things happen.
Yeah, I heard Brian Baer talking about the fact that they shouldn't do this during 4th of July. I would agree. It's getting enough run as it is. Could you imagine if there were people actually in town and paying attention, not on vacation?
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know Gordon Hayward left Utah.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that.
AJ, Maury needs more credit. Good Lord, this town bleeps as, or, you know.
Yeah, I read it.
Beaches him already. He's won nothing. I'm not saying he needs more credit. I'm just saying bashing the dude for his draft picks is the least of my worries. That's all I'm saying. Settle down.
I think I've said enough. Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show. We'll continue to roll on in a moment. The usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.